Father, we just want to thank you this morning, Lord. Father, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you that he came, he lived, he died, he rose again, that we could be forgiven of our sins, that we might have eternity in heaven, that we might experience you today, Lord. We thank you for the Holy Spirit who you have given to us to help us with everything we need, Lord. We thank you for your provision of friends, of family, of food, of everything we need to do your will, Father. We thank you this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's sit down. Briefly put away my mask. Hallelujah. It's good to be here, isn't it? It's good to be here. Just so good to feel the presence of the Lord with us this morning, and so great to the people are praying, and we just sense more and more of the Holy Spirit, and that's what we want, isn't it? This morning I'd like to talk about praying, carrying our theme of prayer, praying in difficult times. And I really struggled to find a subject to talk about this week, and I was praying a lot about it, and then I woke up and felt that again I should share about, for the third time. Sarah spoke one week, I spoke last week, and about this verse, rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing. And actually on Thursday, I think it was that January the 13th? There it was, on my cheering words, that an elderly relative that has now passed into glory, but her daughter still, or her niece, still sends us this calendar. And there it was on Thursday again. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God for you, for me. For each one, this is the will of God for you today. That's what the Bible says. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks. We haven't got time to get everyone else doing the kind of hand thing and the Mr. Tumble thing. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. But this is the will of God, and I hope that we're beginning to get this verse. I don't mind repeating things. Sometimes it's very good to talk about things for several weeks over a season until it becomes part of our being, part of our lives. And so there it was. And I'd like to share for a third week on this verse. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all things. And these are three powerful things. And I really want to link it to my own story, and particularly my story about being in hospital, having my heart bypass operation, my surprise operation in September and October. And because it was so, these things were so real to me. And I think that these three things, if we can get these, they're so powerful daily for each one of us. How many of us spend half an hour in intercession every day? Anybody? Probably not. I don't either. And so, you know, praying for other people, sometimes, you know, we don't do much of that. But I think God starts with us, doesn't he? You know, so I want this to be real to you and me, so that we get this, we experience God. It does something for us in the morning that we can take into the day. I want this to be for you and for me. And for me, this is very real, what I'm talking about today. And so I'm not ashamed to go back to these verses. The first one, rejoice always. I love these always everything verses. It just means all the time. So God wants us to be rejoicing all the time. That doesn't mean making yourself happy. If we find this verse again, Philippians 4:4, it says, rejoice in the Lord always. It's so good, isn't it? To rejoice in the Lord. There are circumstances. I remember a woman coming along to a home group one day, and we all went round and we wanted to thank God for, everyone thank God for something. And when we got to this woman, she said, "I cannot think of one thing good in my life at the moment. Everything is terrible." So the rest of that home group, we spent praying for her. But there is always something to thank God for, and that is Himself. And if we begin to get a revelation of who God is and how wonderful He is, an appreciation of His nature, it will take us through any circumstances that we go through. George Muller, the incredible prayer who built those orphan homes in Bristol, he said this, and I'm going to repeat it again. "The first great and primary business to which I ought to attend every day," this was his philosophy, "is to have my soul happy in the Lord." Have you got that yet? Every day, he said, the most important thing, it's not praying for my huge list of needs. And he prayed for incredible things over his lifetime. Saw amazing answer to prayer. But right at the heart of it was this thing, to make his soul happy in the Lord. And so what this inner person that we have, each one of us, hands up if you've got a spirit. Yes? Not an evil spirit. God says that He has made us spirit. He has given us this inner person where He takes residence inside us. And this is what we're talking about, to make that inner person happy in the Lord. Hudson Taylor is another incredible guy that Joe and I have had the privilege of studying his life, and it's brought such life to our own lives, studying the life of that man. There are millions and millions of Christians in China today who will trace back their salvation to the China Inland Mission. And it all started with his relationship with God. And it started with his daily walk with God. And he said, "Do not have your concert first and then tune your instrument afterwards. Begin the day with the Word of God and prayer. And get first of all into harmony with Him. There is nothing more important in life than being connected to God. We will go to heaven useless and fruitless unless we have a connection with God, because it's all about Him, isn't it? It's all about His work. It's all about what He is doing, and us just being those broken vessels, those jars of clay that Bob was talking about. And Hudson Taylor knew this. His life was about weakness. Don't have your concert first and tune the instrument afterwards. Tune up your instrument at the beginning of the day. And if you put up your hand that you have a spirit, you have an instrument. And we tune it by connecting with God. On September the 24th, this last year, I suddenly went to hospital. And I had discovered about a month earlier that I had a condition called angina, which is where your arteries, they're the things that take the oxygen from your heart. There aren't many of them, and they're very important. And they had got blocked up, and I had no idea of that. And isn't that, I thought, well, that's an amazing picture of our hearts, isn't it? That we think we're absolutely fine. And then suddenly we do something, we say something happens, and God uses that thing to expose the reality of where we are with Him. Happened to me a couple of weeks ago. Something happened, and it so alarmed me. You might think it wasn't a big incident, but to me, it really shook me. And so I went, I had to go back to God and talk to Him about it. It exposed something in my heart, something in my character. And God is very good at doing that. So that day, suddenly I thought I had a heart condition. I knew I had a heart condition. What I didn't realize was that it was a thing called I can't remember. Begins with C. It's a thing when it all like crescendo. Crescendo, you know. And what it is this angina builds up very quickly, and it's a prelude to a heart attack. And on that Friday, I had a heart attack. I didn't even know I had a heart attack. I was changing a light, and Joe said, "You went a very funny color." And later that evening, this angina, which was exercise-induced, in other words, when I went walking, my heart, this, you know, was began to hurt. I'd learnt enough to be concerned that if you get that when you're not exercising. And that night, my heart felt very strange. And I said to Joe before I went to bed, if that happens again, I'm going to get an Uber to A&E. And I did. About 11 o'clock on a Friday night, but not the best time to go to A&E at the Whittington. I went there and I explained what had happened, took my doctor's letter, the appointments that he'd set up for me, but suddenly it came into action. And God was in this. And because I'd had a heart attack, a little heart attack that I didn't even know, there's a little enzyme that gets released. And when they see that, they don't want to let you go out of hospital. So they kept me there for 3 weeks while I waited for a test. And that particular test is the only thing that really shows you the state of those veins. And I thought, I was getting a bit impatient about it, and I thought, great, I'll have this thing, and then they'll give me stents. Those little things that they put in those arteries to open up the thing so that the air can get through. But they said it's so bad. In fact, the main artery, which they call the widow maker, was 90% blocked, very, very serious, and two others were very blocked as well. So it was much more serious than I realized. And they said, sorry, mate, you're going to have to wait and have a triple bypass. And so I then waited, and then there was a place in Bath. I went in, and praise God, I had a wonderful operation. And I've come back fixed. But you see, God had me in there because he wanted to fix something else. He wanted to fix my inner person. And so he dealt with me, and I had a wonderful time. I wouldn't swap that 4 weeks for anything because I met with God while I was there. And I want to just share a little bit of that in relation to this verse. So when I got in there, there was a little verse that Joe sent me, 11:21 p.m. Here's my WhatsApp here. He is carrying us on eagle's wings. Kiss, kiss. And she'd been reading about that verse. Do you want to put the verse up, Phil? You yourselves have seen what I did to the Egyptians and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. And they didn't know that God was carrying them in Egypt. He put them on his great big wings, a whole nation, and he carried them out of Egypt into Israel. And God was speaking to us. And so he brought his word to us in hospital. And I find if there's any situation I go through, if I've got the word of the Lord, if God is speaking to me, if I've got a scripture that's living in my heart, I've got faith. You know, faith, the Bible says, I think it's Romans 10:10, it says, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of Christ. That when God is speaking to you in a real way through a scripture, it gives you faith to go through. And so he gave us that scripture. And there were various scriptures during that 4 weeks, and I haven't time to share them, but as I was sitting there, just wanted to share what God was doing with me. There's a little bit of thanksgiving here, and a WhatsApp that I sent to Joe. Thanks for letting in the cleaner. Thank you, God, for Mauricio, Sandra's husband. And on a Friday night of all nights, I was speaking on Sunday. I knew most of what was happening on Sunday morning, and very few other people really had a clue. And so on Friday night, I'm there in A&E. I can't go to sleep because I'm waiting for the doctors. So I'm WhatsApping all through the night, trying to delegate everything in my life to as many people as I can think of. Poor old Bob, who had a whole list of things. But the big thing that I could not solve was who was going to preach on Sunday morning. Now, I think there's only one person in this room who gave a bigger thank you for Mauricio than me, and that was Bob. Because by default, he would have been preaching on Sunday. But anyway, I said to Joe, I think I've sorted everything, but there's just one thing I can't solve, is who's going to preach on Sunday morning? And so she rang Mauricio. And Mauricio said, I would love to preach on Sunday morning. And he'd actually spent extra time in prayer that week in preparing for something else. And he felt spiritually ready to do it. So he spent Saturday, thank you, Sandra, preparing his message. And when I heard the message, I thought if I'd been preaching, they'd have been shortchanged. It was such a fiery, powerful message that he gave. But really, see, what God was speaking to me was, I don't need you. And that's a hard one, isn't it? For me, that's a hard one. And he was saying, Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And I think if there's a word for this year, as we've been merging these churches, God's been moving us all around, it's this is a season of weakness, isn't it? When God has been saying to you, you are weak, you cannot do this. And so I had a month of weakness. God wanted to prove to me that he could do it. So that's very easy for God. So he just says, you're out, boy. And I thought I was out for a couple of weeks. I thought I'll just have this angiogram, I'll have the stent, and I'll be back in action. And I was planning the next thing, and I was kind of gradually getting the idea that maybe God was dealing with me here and speaking to me. And I'm starting to thank him for all that he's doing. So as well as for Joe letting in the cleaner, I was thanking God for Mauricio. And then one of the verses that I had, Psalm 33, verse 16, was this. Here's my next WhatsApp. I was sharing this with Joe. The king is not saved by his great army. A warrior is not delivered by his great strength. The war horse is a false hope for salvation. And by its great might, it cannot rescue. Behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear him and on those who hope in his steadfast love. In other words, it's not by might. It's not by power. It's by my spirit, says the Lord. And when I knew that in theory, but God was just giving me a practical about this. It goes on and says that he may deliver their soul from death and keep them alive in famine. Our soul waits for the Lord, because he is our help and our shield. Our heart is glad in him because we trust in his holy name. Another thing I found really helpful while I was in hospital, in this thing of rejoicing in the Lord, is who's got Spotify? I love Spotify. So I have my Spotify playlist. And just before I went in, I've been looking up songs about God's holiness. Because, you know, it seems a weird thing, really, but I really appreciate God's holiness. The first thing you might think of is his love or his provision. But actually, I've learned that when God begins to show us his holiness, something happens. Do you remember when Isaiah saw the Lord? And we sang it this morning, didn't we? Holy, holy, holy. And as we worship him for his holiness, you see, the angels are obsessed with this. The seraphim, the cherubim, what are they doing? Day and night, forever and ever, they are saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. And one of the songs that I put on my Spotify list was You Are Holy, Darlene Zech. Is that how you pronounce her name? Czech. Okay, Darlene Czech. Singing You Are Holy. And it's a lovely song. But, you know, if I play my Spotify playlist now, I get quite emotional because I so connected with God in that time. Before the operation, when I came out of the operation in dark moments, I just had these songs of worship in my heart that connected me to God. And I'd really encourage you that when you hear a song in the morning, you know, it says when the song of the Lord began, pick up on those songs that God gives you. I write them down. I meditate on them. I pray over them. I've got these songs written down in my notepad on my phone and on my computer because I use them as a means of connecting with God. He gives us songs in the night to get us through. So Hudson Taylor said, don't have your concert first and then tune your instrument afterwards. Begin the day with the Word of God and prayer. When you're praying, pray with an open Bible or an open phone. And just ask God to speak to you through one verse. I'd really encourage you to do that. Just find one verse that speaks to you. If you're reading a whole chapter or three chapters, just go through it and find the verse. Think about it, write it down, meditate on it, because that will be your daily bread. That will be the food that gets you through. This thing, rejoice in the Lord always, you know, write it down. When I first became a Christian, I went to some kids' camps, and I was 17 years old, went to these camps, and always they gave us these memory verses to remember. And they've stuck in my heart through many years, just through memorizing, and then God brings back those memories to us, and we live by those things, because man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So every morning you're with God and he's got a word that's proceeding from him to you every day like the manna. So listen out for those words. They'll get you through the hard time. Philippians, 1 Thessalonians 5, the next thing is pray without ceasing. So Hudson Taylor, George Muller, all these people, their lives, their ministries were formed on a daily walk with God. And that's why the second thing is pray without ceasing. Never stop praying. Always pray. Pray all the time. And so while I was in hospital, I was praying, probably not all the time, definitely not all the time, but quite a lot of the time. I had plenty of time. And so, you know, as the things were coming at me, I was praying about them. As the doctor, you know, came to me in the morning, some of the HCAs and the people that were working, you know, bringing us breakfast, bringing us my clean pajamas, bringing me, you know, doing my next ECG and all the rest of it. You know, all these wonderful people that God, you know, was bringing to me. I was so grateful. So, yeah. All these things were happening. And so somebody come around in the morning and just bring a choice of Weetabix and All Bran and toast. And I was so grateful. And the thing was that the people who were bringing around those things, they didn't feel very appreciated. And they're normally quite grumpy. One person, her name actually meant happiness. And I thought this is so ironic because she is so miserable. But I started to pray for her. I started to pray for the staff. I started to pray for opportunities to be a blessing. I asked her about her, you know, her life, about her country, about her children. One of the blessings was in the 2 years, somehow I'd ended up in Nigeria and the Philippines. And a lot of those people were from Nigeria and the Philippines. So as I would say, oh, I went to Nigeria. What? You know, I was in the Philippines. What? They couldn't believe it. And so God had given me such a connection with them. And by the time the 3 weeks had finished, I'd become friends. And they came in really happy because somebody loved them. And then the rest of the staff started, the rest of the patients started to get interested in them and asking about their lives. And it became a really happy ward. But as the opportunities came, and then I said, God, give me opportunities. So this was the boys' ward, okay? I used to call myself the fraud in the ward. And I said, I don't know what I'm doing here. I feel perfectly fine, guys. I'm not doing any exercise. I really shouldn't be here. But God put me there. And so I was just praying for opportunities to share with the others. And being in a heart ward, it's an incredible leveler because everyone's afraid of dying. And so we had people who had terrible addictions, slipping in bottles of gin in their pocket to give some extra medication. I had the leader of a political movement in the bed beside me, and his political conference was happening right that time, and he was desperate about being in bed. Opposite me, I had a crane driver. I had also, there were all sorts of people, and they came through and they went, but it became a real community, because when they came and said, oh, what's wrong with you? You know, and we all shared our things, and it was a leveler completely. So it was an amazing opportunity. I wish I'd been bolder, but I prayed. I prayed for boldness, and God gave me some boldness. One guy came in, and he was really afraid of dying. He was in a very serious place, and I think he was pretty sure that he was going to die in the next couple of days. And so I summoned up courage, and I'm not courageous. Honestly, I'm not in these situations. But I said, God, please, please. Give me some boldness. And I really wanted to. And so I said to him, what's wrong? You know, wrong? And we just became friends a little bit. And he said, what do you do? And I said, well, I'm a pastor. I'm one of a few pastors in at this church. That's what I do in my life. And so they all knew I was a pastor. So that was a bit of an advantage, really, wasn't it? So they're looking at this weird person in the corner and thinking, okay, well, yeah, he's there. So this guy, I said to him, well, would you, you know, I really believe in prayer. I said, I'm not just saying that. I believe in prayer. And so he said, well, I don't go to church or anything. He said, but my grandmother was in the Salvation Army. And when we used to live down in Devon or wherever it was, you know, she was really into God. And I said, well, would you mind if I prayed for you? And so I didn't like lay hands on and pray for him there and then, but I said, I'm praying for you. And then he disappeared out of the ward. I heard he was in the next ward, and then I saw his bed was empty, and I thought, my prayers have not been answered. But that was because he went home. And so praise God, you know, he did get better. I don't know how better, but he left and he was well enough to go. Another guy there was he's an atheist. But by the end, we'd really connected. And he said, you know, he said, I feel like an aura coming from your corner of the room. He said, it's so peaceful. He said, you know, let's talk. And we just talked about different things, and we talked a little bit about God, but not very much. But I just reckon I'm a Christian. I've got Jesus. He's going to remember. I loved him. I cared for him. He was so upset about something. He was a big grown man, quite proud probably, and he just cried like a baby because something else happened to him, and he was so upset about it. And it was just so lovely, the atmosphere that was there. And it's because, you know, some of it is because I prayed. I believe that, you know. You know, when bad things happen, we need to turn towards God and not away from him. So pray without ceasing. The last thing I want to... Oh, yeah, just to say that it wasn't always easy to pray. And every morning I tried to pray with Joe, and that was really hard. I had to have a private conversation. The guy next to me had dementia, and we had a lovely time. I got to know him so well. And others in the ward, they didn't understand him, and he never talked. He got very upset. But in the end, we just got to know each other, and then everybody in the ward started to be kind to him. And it was amazing, the difference that it made. But he was right in my face a lot of the time. And so I just had to learn to close the curtain and pray and make sure that I had to fight for my time with God in that war because it was so open. And then I would find a corner next to the storeroom where there was a pile of plastic chairs. And it was the only place I could have a private conversation in the morning. So when they're coming in the morning with the pajamas and the Weetabix and everything, I'm stuffed against the storeroom on my two or three plastic chairs trying to pray with Joe. Because we always pray, and we needed to pray, and we prayed our way through. And eventually, when I got my appointment at Barts to have the operation, I said to Joe, I'm the patient, because everyone was so impatient. And there was a particular guy there who was Mr. Complaining. He complained about everything publicly all the time. And it was so boring for everybody. He didn't realize. He thought it was quite interesting. But we were bored to tears by his complaining. But I refused to do that. I thought, well, I'm not going to be miserable like everybody else. And so, you know, I was just thankful, so thankful. And just in my own heart, that atmosphere of thanksgiving kept me close to God. So the last thing here is giving thanks for, what is it? Give thanks in all circumstances, every circumstance. So I was looking for things to thank God for, and it wasn't difficult. It really wasn't difficult. I was grateful for the love and prayers of the church, because I knew that people here were praying for me. And we just don't know the effect of our prayers, do we? We just don't know, you know, what good that's doing. Well, you know, I really felt the strength of people's prayers. I thank God for my family, my son who came from back from Lisbon to help to look after Joe and care. But the little things, I was so grateful for the food. So grateful for everything. I was so grateful for the dear women that were bringing the food as well. I was grateful for the bathroom, which is sometimes quite dirty, the bathroom, actually, because we're all using it. The NHS is so stretched. But just to have a shower was great. I really thank God for that. And after I had my operation, I hadn't had a shower for a few days, and boy, did I enjoy that one. I was so grateful for the NHS, and people complain so much about the NHS, and this didn't happen, where's that person? And I was just so grateful for every HCA, for every nurse, for every doctor, for every injection. And finally, when I got to my surgeon, I wasn't happy about the surgeon. There was something I just wasn't happy about. But the operation before mine went on too long, so I couldn't have him. And somebody said, aren't you like cross about that? And I said, no, I'm not. I'm just grateful, because I believe God is organizing my life. And so I had a wonderful surgeon, did a fantastic job. As it happened, the operation went on quite a lot longer. They couldn't get my heart going at the end of it. And so I'm just even more grateful to God that they did. But as I went even as I was lying on the anaesthetic bed, and it was like going into the, it was like being in the gates of Hades, the possibility, you know, of what was going to happen. And so I thought, okay, Joe's uncle died while he was having a heart operation on his deathbed, on the operating bed. And so I just thought, into your hands I commit my spirit. And so I just went in peace, having had a lovely talk with the anaesthetist who used to live in Tufnell Park, and it was amazing. So I was so grateful for everything, and I got this amazing surgeon. So just see if I've missed out anything. I don't want to miss anything. The patient. We've got the patient. Sandra, do you want to just come up and we could just sing a song? Yeah, I think it would be great if we could sing that song. Yeah, other musicians, do you want to just come up? I think it would be really good to sing that thank you song again, shall we? So let's just stand up, start to give God some thanks, and then we'll finish with singing that song. Father, we thank you. We thank you. Lord, we want to give glory to you, Lord. King Solomon said, everything comes from you, O Lord, and of your own we give you. Father, even the breath that we have, Lord, everything that we have received, Lord, that we could take glory from, Father, we thank you that it all comes from you, and we want to give you praise. Father, we think of that verse, what do I have that I did not receive? Any intelligence that we have, any resilience that we have, even the health that we have, Lord, it comes from you, Lord, and we give you glory. We thank you for our families and our friends and those that support us. We thank you for our education. We can't be proud in our education, Lord, because you gave that to us, Lord. Everything that we have learned through life, you have organized that, Lord. Father, we give it back to you with praise and thanks and glory this morning in Jesus' name. Lord, we pray that you would help us to glory in you, Lord, to rejoice in you always. Show us yourself, Lord. Reveal yourself, the wonder of yourself, Lord, that we would always have you to glory in if everything else is going wrong, Lord. Help us, Lord, to pray at all times. Father, we thank you for this week of prayer. Teach us to pray, Lord. Teach us to pray a lot more than we do, Lord. Just teach us and help us, we pray, Lord. And help us to never complain, Lord, but to always be grateful people. In Jesus' name. Amen. So, I come before you today, and there's just one thing that I want to say. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Can we say that? I come before you today, and there's just one thing that I want to say. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Let's just give the Lord our thanks. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We've got a few moments left before the coffee. Do sit down for a second, but why don't we just have this time maybe just to give thanks? Has anybody been sitting there thinking, I'm really grateful? I'm really grateful. Anybody? Just like to give thanks.